You know, you can study the different holy offices that are on my chart, and you can go into McLuhan. You'll find that very interesting, fascinating, and a whole world. But you can go to the LaRouche Quadrant, and that's a whole other world, very different from McLuhan, different kind of thinking. And if you pay attention to reading LaRouche, you'll find it quite interesting, quite fascinating. Well, that's what's happened to Rox. She has a couple of LaRouche books, so she started reading them, and she just can't stop talking about LaRouche scenarios. So we have to record that.
Yes, I was laughing the other day when I was writing, because I was thinking, well, before we were into Zappa, now we're into Zappa and LaRouche.
Yes.
Like, I almost be pissed off.
Not necessarily.
We have to come back, Ion.
Yes. This is another way to get Ion to give up his boycott of talking to the public, because it is getting out of control here.
The thing is, I find it really fascinating that what we're doing is going into your chart.
Yes.
Into different areas, and we are abusing Frank Zappa to go into these different areas of what you explain in your chart.
That's right.
And
it sounds like you said abusing. We're using Frank Zappa. Right?
Yes, I'm joking.
Oh, did you say abusing? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right,
yes.
Right.
No, but actually, as we do this, I actually find Frank Zappa even more amazing than before.
Yep.
I mean, his music is really impressive. But when we see the situation as it is now, we got into a little introduction last time.
Yes.
But the situation of what I see as an opium war,
yeah,
in which now Mexico is producing, growing opium and producing all types of chemical drugs and heroin, and America is the biggest consumer in the world. It's really an open war.
Right. I liked your point you made the other day, that you notice when your lousy, stupid president, very bad president, you've always told me, went to England last year, and he was treated like royalty by the Queen, by the Parliament, by everybody, red carpet treatment, like he's a great, great politician. And you're thinking how disgusting that was back then. And then you see that they don't do anything with Trump, hardly anything. That's where you see the LaRouche ideal, or the LaRouche point.
No, that was a real clear point to me, that Enrique Peña Nieto is an agent of this.
Say that name again. You say it a bit fast. Say his name. What is it?
He's like an agent.
Yes.
Working for what LaRouche called the Dope Inc.
Yes.
This corporation controlling this big, big business that produces billions.
Yes.
And of course, it's not the Mexican government.
No.
They're working for them. So that's really clear, that the most stupid president is really treated, yeah, like he had a banquet in Buckingham, and he was taken in these carriages, and yeah, and Trump is sort of not really
acknowledged,
taken care of.
Yeah.
So that shows a lot. And the fact that the press is completely against Trump, I think is actually a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. They're saying, there's another article in the Washington Post today, I just went to Drudge for a minute and saw it, and they're saying that he's more insane in the White House, more crazy talk about how he's out of control, he's in a frenzy, and would say they're always going in cycles.
Well, but, I mean, one can understand that when one sees, if the whole paradigm is going to change, you know, the financial system,
yeah,
the world politics, and this type of mafia business. I mean, there are many factions that are in power well, that have a lot of power, that are controlling media, this trafficking of drugs, people, weapons, and of course, they cannot let go so easily.
Yeah.
That's the problem. What we see in Mexico is like, we don't know really how these factions are going to react and how this transition is going to happen.
Which happens in December, right?
Yeah. But I can understand why, now I can understand why Trump wants to build
the wall.
A wall. Because LaRouche was already talking a long time ago. He saw the same development in Latin America as in Africa.
Yes.
That these corporations were taking over the mining.
Yeah.
And then some Chinese banks got into Latin America, and those banks are the ones that wash the money coming from all this trafficking of different things.
Right, from Hong Kong, the Hong Kong
yes,
bank.
Yes, and they, LaRouche was already saying, you'll see, if this bank is there, it means there is going to be drug problems.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed because it's like, wow.
Yeah, you're reading something 40 years ago where he's predicting that in Dope Inc., right?
This was from There Are No Limits to Growth.
Yeah, that's 1983. Okay. Yeah, all right, that's 35
years ago. Because at that time, around that, late after that, the banks in Mexico were privatized, and we have to save the banks.
Mm.
And yes, we start seeing the whole process that also took place in Colombia.
Yeah.
Now in Mexico. And it's really amazing how LaRouche does his metanoias.
Yeah.
You know, the retracing, that just to find another Latin word for that.
Yeah, aneurognosis. Let's see, I can bring up my quote. I can read it to you.
And actually, now I see, I think we're retracing things. Because I was always saying we have to erase what we know.
Yeah.
And yes, when I do this, it's actually like erasing what I thought was history, what I thought was science, what I thought was this and that.
Yeah, wait, you thought you were erasing it?
Yes, like what you think you know.
Yes.
Like an example. My father is in the army, and he was always watching TV programs, movies, documentaries about the Second World War.
Yeah.
And Hitler. And it's like, I always wonder, why did they show so much...
Hitler.
Yeah, so much about everything. And Pierre Jovanovic wrote this book about the printing press and how the printed money... It's really taken us to a really bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is called Hitler and like the printing press of money.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. In French. And to write it, he read like 200 books on Hitler and saw a lot of documentaries, a lot of movies, a lot of all these things. And like LaRouche, he realized everything is so manipulated. Because actually, according to LaRouche, this big corporation wanted to divide and and they don't want any country to get real strong.
Yeah.
So they plant with a lot of years in advance a war in Europe to make these countries weak.
Yeah.
And they create problems so that they oppose and they fight among each other.
Yeah.
Like France and Germany, Italy,
and Russia.
Japan, and Russia. Yeah. And they thought the war was going to be shorter. They actually created a lot of weird cults.
Yeah.
And secret societies, like the Thule Society and the Theosophists.
What's the second one? What's the second one?
The Theosophists, Elena Blavatsky.
Oh, the Theosophists. Yes, Theosophy.
Theosophists.
Yes.
And it's really weird. The people that have studied the whole thing in depth, they see that the British aristocracy were actually behind all those weird cults like the Thule Society.
Let me add something. You might notice this. Before a war starts, France and Germany and Russia start working together. I think that was happening before World War One and before World War Two. When France, Germany, and Russia start cooperating economically, Britain gets nervous, at least the financial elite in the city of London, and they have to start a war. You know what I mean? To get France, Germany, and Russia fighting
each
other.
Yes, I mean, it's something really impressive how from the Weimar Republic and this extreme inflation that was taking place.
Yeah.
Like Pierre Jovanovic says, aristocratic women in Germany had to be like prostitutes in the... They would go to little towns near Berlin and sell themselves to get some eggs.
Yeah.
You know, like it was extreme that even the rich had to do that.
Right, that'd be in the late 20s.
Yeah.
And mid-20s.
He compares the situation of Germany at the time with what's going on in the economy now. It's very similar, the whole process of what's happening.
Mm.
So that's why he got into Hitler, to understand how that happened.
Right.
And then it was actually program and finance by this... very rich aristocratic British families, and they actually thought the war was going to be shorter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Hitler was sort of coming into his power, and he almost even won the war. But from that situation of the Weimar Republic to what they achieved, you know, this extreme progress in less than 10 years, they were like the strongest country.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating, many aspects of what was going on there from the official side and the hidden ground.
Yeah.
You know, the mystery landscape.
Yes.
And so,
the bankers were, and the Bush family's parents were in there funding Hitler against Russia. Or just basically dividing Germany between France and Russia.
Yes, and one can think, what does that have to do with Frank Zappa? But, well, it's like, that's why I say I'm really impressed by Frank Zappa, because at the time, where everybody was suffering the effects of the propaganda,
The 60s and Zappa, or are you back in the...
Well, these aristocratic groups created a lot of cults.
Yeah.
Because in order to control the population, they think it is easier to control the people when they are afraid, when they're, like, desperate and pessimist.
Yeah, they call it austerity conditions.
Yeah, they create this big economic crisis in the countries, they can manipulate the economy to create this desperate situation, state of mind. Then they create weird cults, because then people is desperate and they believe something. They need to believe in something too.
Yeah.
Some power is going to help them or something. And they get into weird cults, and they also start taking some substances to escape this extreme bad reality they're living in.
Yeah.
And
well, let me mention Zappa. In the Bob Marshall interview with Zappa, done in October 1988, he brings up in the interview his present concern, which were the drug cartels that were starting to surface in Latin America that were feeding the poor. You know, the digital virtual economy of the 70s and 80s had made countries poor all over the world, and so then drug companies got the cash flow, and then they were propping up the poor in the ghettos. But the very thing that LaRouche was on about, well, almost 10 years before Zappa, but definitely in the 80s, when they arrested LaRouche and put him in jail, remember, he's in jail for 5 years, 89 to 94, Zappa was saying the same concern. He says these drug cartels are going to become a real problem.
Yes, I can give the example of Mexico in Sinaloa in the north. There is a man who became a saint, not officially, but the people saw him as a saint because he was like the leader of the drug cartel in Sinaloa. His name was Valverde.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to wash drug money, he will build schools and hospitals and businesses. And people thought, oh, he's so good, he's helping us. Because they had to invest the money they have in something, and they wash it, and then people perceive it as a good thing. And when he died, he's still... There is a cult around him as a saint.
Now, you heard about this as you were a young girl?
Yes. It's known. There is also a lot of Satanism and the cult of the Santa Muerte.
Satan worship. Dead. Satan, yes.
Yeah.
The cult of the dead. Yeah, we've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, one thing is the tradition of the dead, like honoring the ancestors.
Yeah.
And then there is like a degeneration of that in which the Santa Muerte, like, it's like a saint, and there is a cult around it and masses, and very weird. Most of the people into that cult are like very, very poor people and people that are involved in some bad situations like stealing and trafficking and all these types of things, because they think the dead is going to protect them from dying. But the cult is like this. If they have to offer something to the dead, and if they don't do it, she's going to make something very bad.
Right.
So it's like...
Well, you know, when you talk about this saint, drug dealer saint, building schools and hospitals, Ian says that we're going to start a new civilization, but we're not building hospitals. We're providing the iCell, a simple little thing you can buy, some substance, and your body becomes very strong. So we're doing a different kind of hospital, different kind of classroom. Our classroom's on the air, I guess, with Ion. And whatever else they come up with, we're doing it without hardware. You know, these drug dealer saints, they build hardware hospitals, hardware schools. They're all crummy, lousy hospitals, lousy schools. And the people don't know that, though. So they think he's offered stuff. But even what they do in terms of public works is shoddy and inferior compared to what we do.
Yes, and then... they also have, like different types of cults, like these cults for the people, and many secret societies in which in order to get initiated, you have to do bad things that are recorded, and then they can use that information against you.
Yeah.
You cannot say anything, and you work for them and all these things. They can manipulate you and make you do anything they want.
Yeah, you're blackmailed.
Yeah. And that's why, for example, in Mexico, the cartels use a lot of Satanism.
Yeah.
Like, in order to get into their group, they demand very bad things. Like, you kill somebody in your family, or you do some, you eat...
you have to do meat, that to get...
human meat and drink blood and stuff like that. Really...
Yeah, ridiculous. And you're saying you have
things.
To do that to get some bread or soup.
No, to get in those cartels.
Right, but that, like, you get in the cartel because you need the meager income.
Yes. You know, first there is a big crisis created. People are desperate. And so there's also a lot of propaganda, you know, showing these cartel people as, you know, like in the hip-hop.
Yeah.
In America, they use hip-hop. In Mexico, they use something called bandas.
Yeah.
Like, it's a type of music that they make these gangsters look like glamorous, cool, you know, intelligent. They're making money very fast. And so the younger generations want to be like that. And they think it's the only solution. There is no point in studying, having a job, and whatever it's like.
Yeah, don't go to university.
They want to do the cartels. You know, they want to join the cartels, and they're ready to do whatever to be part of those agrupations. Yeah. But the thing is, one of the things that creates a lot of violence is people think they can now grow their own stuff and make their own labs and sell their own drugs. Of course not. It's like if you're a self-entrepreneur,
yeah,
you are eliminated
pretty quickly.
There's no way. Yeah, the cartels control all aspects of the business, and actually. LaRouche says it's all controlled in Asia, all these banks in Asia, but they tell the people anywhere how much to grow, how much to produce, because they want to control, to keep the prices in a certain level. They don't want a lot of overproduction, and it's really like a corporation with
yeah.
a lot of
yeah. now,
planning.
Now, you were, did you say planning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you were in the nightclub world in the 90s in Mexico City. Would this kind of thinking come into your thoughts about what was happening in the music scene? Or is it before Bandez?
No, there were areas where they were starting to do that in the north, like in Sinaloa.
In Monterrey? Is that the north?
Sinaloa.
Sinaloa, what's that?
Sinaloa is on the side of the Pacific.
Oh, okay. Like near Baja.
Yeah. But Baja is this little peninsula, this
yeah.
little peninsula, and Sinaloa is on the land.
So you knew about Bandas back then in the 90s?
Yes, but my parents always prohibited that we listen to such
right.
music or
and you
all
would
low
say,
culture.
And you would say they were correct. When you're in the LaRouche quadrant, they were good LaRouches.
Yes, because some of the music is actually really good. You know, there is a very famous band called Los Tigres del Norte.
Mm-hmm.
And they became famous in the 70s. With a song about a couple that takes a lot of drugs in the wheels of a car
mm-hmm.
into America.
Yeah.
But the woman is jealous, and she tells the police, you know. And then she gets everything, the money, the drugs, and she disappears. And it was everywhere. You could hear that song everywhere. It's called Camelia La Tejana.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should send you the link.
Yeah.
And the music is really good. You know, everybody was singing it. Even me as a child, because I would listen it in the market or in the street or somewhere. I will sing Salieron de San Isidro, procedentes de Tijuana, tenían las llantas del carro rellenas de hierba mala. And even now I sort of know the song.
Yeah, and so it's about like, dope, the beginning of Dope Inc. in Mexico. That's what it's
yes,
about.
Yes, because that was how they started to produce only marijuana, and they start creating these cartels and these organizations and organizing all the finances and all this. You know, it's like they start setting the corporation, different aspects of the corporation. And now, you know, it takes, you know, that was in the 70s. Now, in the 70s, there was also guerrilla. Like in Guerrero, where there was a lot of marijuana planting, there was also guerrillas. And, you know, the thing with the 43 students that disappear, some people that investigated that case, the thing is these students were in Guerrero, in that area,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to go to a demonstration in Mexico City, so they sort of took some buses. They said they wanted them just to take them to the demonstration. They were not really, like, stealing them.
Right.
But the problem was that in those buses, there was some heroin. So, you know, the people from the cartel don't know if they're working for another cartel or what. So they were just disappeared and, I suppose, killed.
Yeah. 43 nice students.
Yeah. And they were studying to be teachers. And actually, they just graduated, that generation of people that were studying. And the thing is, the crime was never really solved.
Mm.
Why? Because, you know, it involves the cartels, government, and
the police.
Yeah, so everybody then starts saying the organized crime is the government.
Well, you know, let me just add this. In my garage, I've got hundreds of LaRouche's newspaper called The New Solidarity, then it was called The New Federalist, in my garage from the 80s, talking about pre-headlines. Mexico's pre-Dope Inc. The thing you're talking about, LaRouche was writing about in his newspaper in the 80s. He had members of his cult or political organization in Mexico, very smart people who would write books. I have a book on Mexican politics. That was in their literature. That's what I was reading when you were a little kid running around studying Stravinsky.
Making mud cakes.
Mud cakes and listening to electronic music.
You know, I was very impressed by Ion when he said that, because I really liked to make mud cakes when I was a child and put flowers in.
And he pointed that out? He knew you did that?
Yes, once you ask, what was I doing when I was a child, and he said, she was making mud cakes, and
wow.
I was really impressed, like, wow.
Yeah. But so there was no talk in your culture, in your band, about this dope, this change in the music industry in your nightclub world.
No, but I can understand in Mexico, rock concerts were prohibited in 68, you know, because of the student movement, and they wanted to avoid groups of young people getting together. So concerts were prohibited until the 80s.
And then they were allowed when the dope cartels got stronger.
Yes, because they need the market.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sell you this thing of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.